Emily Haynes is a woman of many bands, leading the dance rock band Metric and contributing to the Canadian collective Broken Social scene, as well as putting together her current, quieter, more personal band, The Soft Skeleton. Emily grew up in Canada. She is the daughter of jazz poet Paul Haynes and went to art school early on, meeting another darling of the Canadian indie scene, Amy Milan, at an early age. With all of Metric's success, I asked Emily, why do a solo album and why specifically The Soft Skeleton?
Because the sun also rises. So Metric is the music for Saturday night, and this is the music for Sunday morning.
And there are very many keyboards that you would play with Metric, but this is definitely a piano album. And I understand you had a great thing. You love to play piano with the mute key on.
Yeah, it's a
mute pedal, I should say.
Yeah, I just have a lot of respect for the instrument. It's taken me a long time to get up the nerve to play it in public at all. I still have a long way to go, I think, in terms of my chops, and I hope to develop throughout my life. But I do love my piano's my best pal.
Well, you have a version thereof today, the Yamaha Baby Grand, and what do you want to start off with?
We're going to play a song called Crowd Surf Off a Cliff.
I'm sorry.
Emily Haynes and the Soft Skeleton are playing live today on the World Cafe, and that is Crowd Surf Off a Cliff from Knives Don't Have Your Back. And people who have ever seen Metric perform know that you're all over the place. You're a very physical performer. And I'm listening to you do these songs, and you have to concentrate now so much. I mean, you probably do anyway, but so much on putting it all into every little breath almost counts. It's all into the singing, the physical aspect of that.
That's true.
Yeah, she said. Now, yeah, I also have the opportunity of sitting here watching you perform while reading along with the lyrics. And that song seems to be a reaction to at least touring, if not the success of Metric. There's a lot of little lines in there that kind of... Does that have anything to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think... I know the feeling is definitely of spending a bit too much time in airports, but I don't think it's an experience that's exclusive to a musician or to me. It's that feeling, if you consider yourself adventurous, that I suppose it's a variation on a theme that I certainly didn't invent, which is that you can't go home again, that idea. And the visual struck me once, because I am prone to crowd surfing at Metric shows, and it's quite a deep experience, actually, to have the people that have bought your records and sing your songs physically catch you and carry you out and carry you back to the stage. And I've only ever had great experiences with it, but I had the image so strongly in my head of the idea of just the hands just taking me, and then I'd never come back.
Right. Right. Well, and the displacement of all that, too, which is interesting. I love that song. It's great. Emily Haynes is playing live today. One of the things, when you open up the booklet, which clearly I've been spending far too much time with, is there's a great, actually you don't have to open it up, a great quote from Robert Wyatt, the singer and writer, who's somebody you've known, whose music you've known for a long time. When did you actually make contact with him?
Well, I grew up listening to his stuff. My father is close friends with him. When I was, I guess I was 18 or something, I wrote my first letter to Robert just saying, help. What do I do? All I want to do is play music, and what should I do? Like, he was kind of the only person I could think of that had achieved what I would like to achieve. And he's been such a loyal friend to me as just a pen pal. And I recently got to meet him.
Had he heard your music before he met you?
Yeah, I sent him everything I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very generous in his input.
Now, you mentioned your father was, what people know him a number of different ways. Paul Haynes is a poet, but a number of people may know him as the person who wrote the lyrics with Carla Bley for Escalator Over the Hill, which is seen as the great jazz opera, if you want to put it that way. I've got to expect there was some great music around your house. I mean, if Robert Wyatt was part of it, what other things would he feed you music along the way?
Yeah, and he was very unassuming about it. It was never with much presentation. In fact, he was really opposed to, and if you ever asked who anyone was, he felt that intruded upon the experience of listening to music. But definitely Carla, and he had an amazing ability to find in popular culture the one thing that's worth listening to. So I remember he put PJ Harvey on a tape for me when I was a teenager, and I thought it was just another one of his weird friends. I could never delineate who was a friend and who wasn't, because all his friendships were based on art.
Did he expect you to therefore go on and dig yourself? And I mean, he didn't provide the liner notes, but he wanted you to go and find out more about it, or did he care?
He never really asked me to do anything.
Okay. Emily Haynes is playing live today, and what's next?
The Maid Needs a Maid.
Now here, you can tell me where I'm right or wrong on this one, but there is an undercurrent of 21st century feminism in this album, and the song before this one, and Maid Needs a Maid. How is your role as a... Boy, this is one of those big questions. A role as a woman in what's still, kind of a male rock world been like? Has that changed for you?
Has it changed?
Since you began, has your feeling about how to present yourself changed?
I really try not to think about it, which people always ask me if it's really hard. And up until recently, I've just staunchly denied that it's any more difficult. And then, seriously, in the last few weeks, It's like, damn, this is actually, it is harder for me. Mm. But I don't know. I don't find that very productive or helpful. You know, it's like everyone has to deal with expectations and stereotypes. It's like, try being a black guy playing the bass. You know what I mean? Like everyone's, I don't feel a particular sense of entitlement or that anyone, I don't feel hard done by. But there's certainly plenty of fodder for my songs out in the world. So...
Any reason why you were thinking about that in the last few weeks?
I think it's because I had time to stop and reflect. And my instinct until that point had been to just go on. And there are so many amazing young girls who come to Metric shows and make it just an incredible experience. So frankly, the positives outweigh the negatives so much that I think I had largely ignored some of the things that just as a human being are a little, you know, a little unfortunate. But I think it's important not to dwell on it. And I think that is modern feminism, is to act.
If you look at some of the social networking websites or just blogs and stuff about Metric and about you, there's a lot of women on both those. And so you're clearly connecting somehow.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I think it's so rare that you actually see a proportionate representation of both sexes at shows, and it's really like it becomes a politicized, it seems like a political thing, but to me it's just like that's just more fun. You just want your audience to be, you don't want it to be all guys all the time. None of the guys I know want it to be guys all the time. So
well, this is Maid Needs a Maid.
Bros before hoes disagree on the sidelines, for a fee, the man needs a maid. The maid needs a maid. Thank you.
Maid Needs a Maid, another one from Emily Haynes, is playing live for us today on the World Cafe. Little fantasy relationship there. Would be nice to have.
Yeah. It's funny, I realized when I was a kid, I listened to Neil Young all the time, and I never understood what he was talking about. And then I knew I was in real trouble when I finally could relate to that idea of, like, that's the ideal relationship, to somebody to keep your house clean, cook your meals, and go away.
What's next?
Reading in bed.
In some of the material with this, this song is, you say, is a reaction to your father passing away in 2003?
Yeah.
It was said it was written around that time.
Maybe the whole album is infused with that. But
what's interesting is I've kind of nothing is very direct in your writing, which is one of the things I love about your lyric writing, is that you can read it so many different ways. Is that a reaction? Is that have anything to do with your father? Because his poetry was not necessarily direct.
Yeah, he had a great disdain for the obvious. So, you know, I feel like compared to him, I'm saying things we already know.
Oh, okay. So you're the more direct of the two.
Then. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Escape.
Reading in Bed, another one from Knives. Don't Have Your Back, Emily Haynes and the Soft Skeleton are playing live today. What do you want to do next?
How about Our Hell?
First when wrong is hard to find. We're paralyzed, we apologize. Our hell is a good life. Last when wrong, where's my
That's Our Hell that begins Knives Don't Have Your Back from Emily Haynes and the Soft Skeleton. Thanks to Emily, Scott Miner on the drum kit, Paul Dillon on the bass, and on, atmospherics and other noises you heard today, Todor Kavakov. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We shall be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. Thank you.
Thanks again to Emily Haynes for joining us. If you're looking for audio of that session, you can find it at our website at worldcafe.npr.org.